All right, Jabal Sai, good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Mem Ches. We left off on Mem Zayin Amud Beis. So first of all, I want to thank Hilly Kagan for sponsoring the Day of Learning, for sponsoring the Shizron. He actually, I received the email from him two days ago, but for some reason it went into my spam box. So we'll dedicate the Day of Learning today, Amir Tzashem, and we'll dedicate it in memory of the Kedoshim who were killed in the Har Nof attack. And also, we dedicate our learning today in the merit of a Refu Hashem for Rabbi Sonnenschein's mother. Rabbi Sonnenschein had to go to Montreal last night because his mother, unfortunately, is not well. So we dedicate our learning today that she should have a refuah, that she, Amir Tzashem, should be B'shalom, B'nachas, and B'shalva. The family should arrive okay, the family should return okay, along with Kol Chole Yisrael. Okay, so we left off yesterday, Rabosai, with a little bit higher up on Mem Zayin Amud Beis, hence our earlier start this morning. So we left off yesterday the following. Echad ger ve'echad eved meshuchrar. So literally it's 11 lines down from the top. Might as well do yesterday's daf all over again, right? So 11 lines down from the top. So the Gemara says, Echad ger ve'echad eved meshuchrar. So to remember, we're talking about in the middle of the halachos of conversion. So the Gemara says, whether it is a ger, a convert, or an eved meshuchrar, ultimately a servant who was emancipated, ubemakom shenida tovel hashem. The Rabbos say, that first statement makes it sound like that both a ger as well as an eved meshuchrar require kabbalas hamitzvos. That both of them require ultimately some level of acceptance of mitzvos as part of their conversion. Furthermore, they have to go ahead and immerse themselves in the mikvah that a woman who is a nida would use, meaning a biblically kosher mikvah. So the Gemara says, ger ve'eved meshuchrar tovlin. Furthermore, the Braisa says that a ger, a convert, eved meshuchrar, an eved who is going to be freed, tovlin, immersed in the mikvah, v'chol davar shechotzeitz b'tvila, chotzeitz b'ger, and ube eved meshuchrar. Furthermore, again, the laws of immersion for the ger, for the convert, as well as for the emancipated servant, are the same as the nida. Namely, that just as the nida can't have a chatzitza, so meaning I will say a chatzitza means anything ultimately that would serve as a barrier between her flesh and the water, so too the ger and the eved meshuchrar also cannot have anything that interposes between their skin and the water. Amar Mar, ger shebal hiskayer. So Mar said again, if a convert comes to convert, or I should say a man comes to convert, a Gentile comes to convert, Omrim lo, we say to him, Ma ra'isa shebasa lehiskayer. So now the Bryce is quoting in shorthand that which we said yesterday. We essentially say to him, what are you thinking? Why are you coming to convert? Again, and that's the part of the speech where we tell him, that's the part of the speech, bless you. You choreograph this, you know. So remember again, that's the part where we tell him the difficulties and the suffering of Klal Yisrael. Umodim also mixas mitzos kalos or mixas mitzos chamuros, and we tell him some of the more intense mitzvos, some of the less intense mitzvos. My time. Now the Gemara asks, why is it that we tell him mitzvos chamuros? Meaning, why is it that we give him just the exposure to the most intense mitzvos that carry with it the greatest problems? If you remember, again, on Amud Aleph, we spoke about that the mitzvos we tell him about are Chil Shabbos and Chelev. So why do we do that? So the Gemara says, because de'i parish nifrosh. Because if he's going to leave as a result of the severity of the law, let him leave. Essentially what the Gemara is saying is that we believe just in a full disclosure. And we don't want to sugarcoat it. We don't want to make it look easy. We don't want to go ahead and say that it's without responsibility. So if he hears about the more intense punishments and that scares him off, so be it. Da'amar Abchalbo, Abbas says, actually very interesting. Abchalbo said, Kashim gerim li yisrael kisapachas. Converts are as difficult for the Jewish people as sapachas. Sapachas is a form of tzaras, a form of leprosy, a skin blemish. Dichsiv, because the pasuk says, the nilva hager aleihem. Here we'll say, the Gemara is quoting the pasuk from Yeshaya. V'nilva hager aleihem, the ger will accompany them. V'nispichu al beis Yisrael. Now the word v'nispichu in this context means they will cleave to the Jewish people. They will cleave to the Jewish people. So the Gemara is making a little bit of a play on that word, v'nispechu, which is also the same shoresh as sapachas, which represents, again, a blemish on the skin. So the Sefer Rabbi Chalbo seems to be saying that we try to scare off the ger, if possible, the prospective ger, because gerim are difficult for Klal Yisrael. And I will say, now, what does that mean? If you look at Tosus on the bottom, just quickly, Tosus says, kashim gerim the Yisrael ke sapachas. So Tosus gives a couple of different answers, but I want to share with you the last one. Look at the last three lines. He says, and I think this is so profound. He says, "V'yesh mefarshim l'tvish sheb'yoser hushuru Yisrael al agerim." Remember, the Torah goes out of its way to teach us how to treat the convert. How to treat the convert? Torah lo sonu asagar v'haftam asagar. Why? Because Kadosh Baruch Hu recognizes that whereas Judaism is a very family-centric religion, so ultimately, again, the ger often does not have any extended families, at least sometimes initially after he converts, and therefore it's easy for him to fall into the periphery of society. It's easy for him to be taken advantage of, and therefore the Torah says you have to treat the ger with special love. So look what the Torah says. Since we are commanded to treat the ger with special attention and love, Ve'ein yicholin lehizar me'onasan. And listen to what Tosa says. And the bar that is set with how we are supposed to treat the convert is so high that it is virtually impossible not to transgress. Meaning, inevitably, we end up hurting the ger's feeling at some point in time. Whether it's because I say something like, what was it like to be a guy, right? Or something else like that, that ultimately, again, treads on a person's feelings. So this is amazing. So that's why it's kasha gerim liyisrael kesafachas, because again, inevitably, we will be held accountable for how we treat or, if prior stated, mistreated the convert. So the Gemara goes on. Umodin osa avon leket shicho peo maiserani. And we tell the convert about the responsibility, the sins of leket shichacha peya maiser ani. Remember, again, I will say these are all agricultural tithes. My time, what's the reason? Ben Noach Nerag Apachos Mishaver Pruta. Because I will say, interestingly enough, remember that one of the major distinctions between Noachide law and Torah law is that Bnei Noach, in their we'll call Bnei Noach legal system, so one is chayiv for gezel even less than a shava pruta, even less than the amount of a pruta. Furthermore, again, they have no din of hashava saveda. Yet, interestingly enough, what we tell the ani is, look, as Jews, we're a little bit more easygoing with our money. Meaning, they're both like, let's say it happens that, how do you know who's coming in to take your leket shichachan peah? Right? How do you know? Like, do you card them? Do they come in with a letter? You know, how do you know? And the answer is, you don't. Right? I leave my leket shichan peah. And the truth is, again, yes, if a person is an unscrupulous individual, wants to take advantage, he could do that. But as a people, we are more giving with our money towards the other. So we explain this to the non-Jew because essentially this is so countercultural to what it is that he believes in. Of course, the Pashup Shat also is that what we're telling him is, as I mentioned yesterday when we read this, is that it's exceptionally expensive to be Jewish. That we're obligated not just to simply maintain our expenses, but we are obligated to actively allocate a portion of our wealth to make sure that the needs of the other are met. So this is a dramatic change in lifestyle, an incredibly dramatic change in lifestyle. And therefore, again, we have to tell him before he converts. So the Gemara goes weiter. Ve'in marbim alav, ve'in medaktikin alav. But it's actually very interesting. So now, it's almost like the Gemara is making an inherently contradictory statement. So on one hand, we speak about the idea that first we try to dissuade him by teaching him about the persecutions of the Jewish, a little bit of a Jewish history lesson. Right? Then we go ahead and we tell him mitzvos chamuros, mitzvos kalos. Right? We tell him again the mitzvos ultimately of with stiff punishments. Then after the Gemara says, but if he's still there, he still sticks around. Ein medaktik in alav. We don't push it any further. In other words, that at some point in time we just let him continue with the conversion process and we stop trying to convince him against it. Amar Belazar Mikra, where do we get this idea from? That if he persists, that we allow him to just continue with the conversion process. The Chassid Rabbah said, this is amazing. Vateira ki mis ametzes hila lechas ato, vatechta ledaber aleha. Well, so you know where we learn it from? We learn it from Rus. We learn it from Rus. That what happened, that Rus wanted to go ahead and join Naomi, Ruth wants him to join Naomi. And then what happens? Naomi tells her not to come. Naomi tells her not to come. And then Ruth persists. And you see at a certain point in time what happens. So Naomi says, fine. Fine. So the Gemara tells a little bit, it's actually a beautiful Gemara, about the conversation between Rus and Naomi. So what does she tell her? So Naomi said to Rus, Asir lon tchum Shabbos. You know, by us, we have a concept of tchum Shabbos, meaning you have limited mobility on Shabbos. I will say what's interesting is, out of all the things that Naomi is telling Rus, why is she telling her tchum Shabbos? So say, because understand that tchum Shabbos represents almost a shackle on movement, right? If there's one thing that we try to pride ourselves on, one of the things in which we express our autonomy is freedom of movement. Because Judaism sometimes even restricts your freedom of movement. So what does Rus say? Ba'asher telchi eilech. Rus responds, wherever you go, wherever you walk, I'll walk. Asr lan yichud, right? We have a prohibition of yichud, meaning a woman can't be secluded with a man. So what does Rus respond? Ba'asher talini alin. Where you sleep, I will sleep. Mafkadinon sheish me'os v'yud gimel mitzvos. We have 613 mitzvos. Rus responds, Amechami, your people is my people. Asr lan avodos kochavim. You're not allowed to worship idolatry. Rus responds, Ve'elokayech elokai. Your God is my God. Arba misos nimsru lebeizdin. If a person violates certain laws, there is a penalty of death by beizdin. What does Rus respond? Ba'asher tamusi amus. Where you die or how you die, I will die. Beis kvar nimsru lebeizdin. So what happens? So remember also we actually had this a little bit earlier in Yevamos, that beizdin, when they would execute someone, there are two different beizdin cemeteries. One basin was for the significant offender, habitual offender, people who were labeled as Rishaim. And the other cemetery was set aside for someone who perhaps had only violated once, but unfortunately that one violation had carried with it a very stiff penalty. So the Rus responds, Visham akaver, I will be buried wherever you are buried. Miad, after this, Naomi sees, Vatera, she saw, ki misametzesi, that Rus ultimately was persistent and indeed had in mind that she was going to convert. And at that point in time, Naomi stops trying to dissuade her. So both of the Gemara ceased from here, that Lemais, again, at a certain point in time, if the convert persists in the desire to convert, we stop trying to convince them against it. So the Gemara says, ki be'al malano somya, this is very interesting. So once we deem a person ready to convert, we circumcise him immediately. My time, oh, what's the reason? She says, Shehuye mitzvah lo mishahinan. This is very interesting because we do not delay the performance of the mitzvah. Now I will say, now what's the mitzvah over here? There is no mitzvah to convert people. It sounds like what the Gemara is saying is like this, that once someone expresses a true desire to be Jewish, at that point in time, it's a zechus for him to become Jewish, to have the mitzvos. We do not want to delay his having the mitzvos any longer. So the mitzvah is not to convert the individual. The mitzvah ultimately is the mitzvahs of the Torah that are upon the individual. So remember, the Gemara said that if you circumcise the ger and you leave literally shreds of the membrane, right on top of the on the tip of the erva, so that could go ahead and negate the mila, and you'd have to cut those away, and then you'd have to be tovel again. So the Gemara says, what are we talking about over here? Kiddisnan. Elohein tzitzin ha-ma'akvin ha-mila. So these are, literally tzitzin means pieces or threads, but really it means pieces of the, remember I spoke about the idea about the membrane that's underneath the foreskin. So it goes that these are pieces of the membrane that are left. So the Gemara says, these are tzitzin, elohein tzitzin ha-ma'akvin ha-mila, basar ha-chofa esrov ha-atara. So we'll say, the atara is considered, is the tip, is the top of the aver of the makom mila. So if you have these shreds of skin that are covering the top of the atar, the rove, the majority of the top, then ve'eino ochel b'truma. So say, for example, if somebody had those pieces of the membrane still there, they'd be considered an orel. They're considered uncircumcised. So for example, one of the ramifications of being uncircumcised is if you were a Kohen, you would not be permitted to marry truma, to eat truma. V'amrav yirmi bar abba amrav, basra chofer rov gov hashalatara. So we'll say, Rav Yirmi bar abba paskin, the name of Rav, and this is how we paskin as well, that it's only if the shreds of the membrane, only if the tzitzin cover the majority of the top of the makom mila, the area of the bris mila, then that causes the person to be an orel. But if there are some pieces that are left, but it doesn't cover the majority, then ultimately, again, it's not ma'akiv. A person is considered to be circumcised. Nisrape mapilano somiad. As soon as the ger recovers from his bris milah, we immerse him in the mikvah immediately. Nisrape in non nisrape lo. So what does immersion in the mikvah have to do with his healing from the circumcision? To which the Gemara says, my time, mishum demaya marzumaka, because water irritates the wound. Water irritates the wound. Therefore, again, it's not sakarnas nefashos, but we do not want to go ahead and irritate the wound. See, obviously, contemporarily, there are other hygienic issues as well. You know, understand, in times of the Gemara, so very often mikvaos were rivers or are larger bodies of water where those hygienic issues may not be of greater concern. So today, again, this is how we pass it as well. We wait until the individual recovers from the mila, then we go to the mikvah. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Ushneitam dicham omdum agabov, and the Braisa said that two Torah scholars stand over him to witness this process. So the Gemara says, two, Vahamar b'chiyar Rabbi Yochanan, ger tzarech shlosha. But yet we said, Rabbi Osan, yesterday's daf that what? That you require a Beis Din of three to oversee conversion. To which the Gemara answers, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, indeed, the Braisa is written incorrectly and it's supposed to say three. And Rabbi said, that is how he passed, you need a Beis Din of three people. As soon as the ger immerses, once he comes up, remember we spoke yesterday, while he's standing in the water, we do another Kabbalah Samitzos, then he goes down, and then once he comes back up over the water, he is considered to be Yisrael for all matters. L'may Hilchasa, what does that mean? Meaning, what's the ramification of that, that he's supposed to be Yisrael? D'i Hader Bey, Umekadesh Bas Yisrael, Mumer Karina Bey, V'kidusha Kedusha, I'll tell you why it matters. You know why it matters? If he were to go ahead and, let's say a man converts, and he returns back to his former religion. He goes back to Avodah Zarah. And then he's Mekadesh, a Jewish woman. He gives Kedushin to a Jewish woman. So what is the halacha? So I might have thought that, hey, look, if he goes, first of all, this is an interesting and complex issue in halacha in general. If someone converts and then ultimately returns to their former religion, what is the status of the conversion? The Gemara understands that halacha lemaisa, once you're Jewish, you are Jewish. Even if you go back to your former religion, you are no longer an idolater. Instead, you are what we call the Yisrael Mumer. You are a Jew who is sitting, whether you're sitting intentionally, unintentionally, or I should say, Mumer is always intentional, whether you're sinning because you're trying to rebel against God, you're sinning for some other reason, but Lemais, what the Gemara is saying over here is once you're Jewish, even if he returned to his Avodah Zarah, if he was Mekadesh, a Jewish woman, that Kiddushin is valid. That Kiddushin is valid because he's not considered to be an idolater, he's considered to be Yisrael Mumar. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Echel Ger ve'Echel Evan Meshuchran. So remember again, now what the Gemara, what the Braisa said before, makes it sound like both a Ger and an Evan Meshuchran require Kabbalah HaMitzvos before immersion. So we'll say, understand, an Eved Kenani, a non-Jewish servant, does two different immersions. He does an immersion, a mila and a tvila l'shem avdus, which means that when a Jew purchases a non-Jewish servant, there's a circumcision that's done, and there's an immersion in the mikvah for the sake of servitude. We saw that 2 days ago. Then, when his servitude is coming to him, his master is going to emancipate him, there is another tvila, another immersion in the mikvah, and that's almost another immersion to carry out the remainder of the conversion, because there's like a partial conversion at his entry into servitude, and then the second conversion goes ahead and completes the conversion. So the Gemara made it sound like that the Eved requires Kabbalah HaMitzvos as well. To which the Gemara says, Echad Ger ve'Echad Eved Meshuchar Kasaka Daitcha LeKabal of All Mitzvos. Are you telling me then that the Eved has to be Mekabal upon himself All Mitzvos? Look at Rashi. Kasaka Daitcha Dahai Da'akis Shichro Shal Eved LeGerus HaOvid Kochavim LeKabal Kamar Shebshas Tevila Shichro HaEved Tzarech Lo Di'enu Miktas Mitzvos. So we'll say, this is talking about now the immersion upon emancipation. So are you telling me then that when you immerse the Eved for the sake of emancipation, that you're going to have to do Kabbalah HaMitzvos as well? Says, I'm going to raise a kasha about that. But when is this true? Beger, with a convert. But yet again, the Braisa explicitly says that only a ger, only a convert needs Kabbalah HaMitzvos, but an Eved Meshuchar does not. He could become Jewish just by simple immersion in the mikvah, even without Kabbalah HaMitzvos. Amar Rav Sheshes Lo Kasha, it's not a contradiction. Har Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Har Rabbanan, two different opinions. Rishimin Allah's in the Rabbanan, this Sanya, because we learned, Ubachsas Aviha Ves Ima, Shabbos say, this is by the Yifas Torah, Parshas Kisetse, Torah discusses, if you go out to war, and you find a beautiful woman, and you want to take her as a wife, so the Torah outlines the entire process that you have to go through before actually taking her as a wife. And one of the things the Torah says, is that she will cry for her father and her mother for 30 days. So the Gemara says, when is this true? Shelo kibla aleha, when she has not accepted upon herself. Rashi says lehisgayer, to convert. Aval kibla aleha matbila umutter ba miyad. So we'll say, listen to this. When does the Yifas Torah have to go ahead and wait these 30 days? That's only lemaisa at the time when she doesn't want to convert, because then she has to go through this process. But if she wants to convert, then we take her to the mikvah and she converts immediately. To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Afa Pishalo Kibla Alea, Kofa Umatbila Lashem Shifchus, Vechozer Matbila Lashem Shichra Umashachara. So Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, even if she doesn't want to convert, we could still go ahead and have her immerse for the sake of servitude, and then you can emancipate her, have her go ahead and immerse again, Umashachara, and you emancipate her, right top of Memches, Umutur Bamiyat, and you're permitted to go ahead and take her as a wife immediately. The Rabbi will say, now what do you see from there? What you see from there is that Lamaisa, that an Eved does not need to be Mekabel Mitzvos at the time of the Tvila for emancipation. Because what, remember again, we have a fundamental Machlokes, because what Shimon Elazar is saying, what the Tanakama was saying is, look, the whole process of Yifas Toar is only there if she does not want to convert. But if she wants to convert, she can convert immediately. Shimon Elazar says, you don't even have to waste time. You remember, you're taking this woman anyway, really against her will. She's a captive. So I'll tell you what you could do. You could just immerse her for the sake of servitude, then go ahead and immerse her again for the sake of emancipation. And when you immerse her for the sake of emancipation, then what effectively happens? She becomes Jewish. What do you see from there? You see from there that for an Eved does not require Kabbalah's all mitzvahs, because they both say, if she doesn't want to convert, what good does immersing her do if she doesn't accept upon herself the mitzvahs? You see from here that there is the ability to go ahead and convert someone even without Kabbalah's all mitzvahs. Amar Rava, my time at Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. What's Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's logic? This will say that this whole thing, this sounds very foreign to us on many levels. But of course, again, from a conversion perspective, the notion of someone becoming Jewish without actively choosing it or accepting mitzvahs is a great anomaly. But again, that was a function of servitude, of avdus. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, my time at Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. What's Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's logic? What Shimon Elazar's logic? Tichsiv, kol eved ish miknas kasef. The pasuk says, any servant of man who is acquired by money. So the rest of the pasuk says, umalto, so you'll circumcise him, as yochabo. Then he's permitted, let's say the master is a kohen, if the slave is circumcised, then he's permitted to partake of the truma in the household as well. So the Gemara says, eved ish velo eved ish. So why does it call him the servant of a man? Is that to say that if he's a servant of a man and not the servant of a woman? So we know that's not true. Even if a woman owns the servant, the halacha is the same. Ela eved ish atamal bal karcho. Viatamal ben ish balkarcho. Rather, what does it teach us? It teaches us that if you go ahead and you have a servant, you are permitted to go ahead and circumcise that servant against his will, but you are not permitted to circumcise ben ish, the son of a man, against his will. Now, what does that mean? Let's take a look at Rashi. Rabbi say eved ish velo eved isha. So skip down about four lines in that Rashi, three lines in that Rashi. Rashi says v'hachi kamar. It's actually the first short line in Rashi on the daf. V'hachi kamar eved shalom. If you purchase a servant from a Gentile, you're permitted to go ahead and circumcise the Eved against his will. But however, again, of course, this concept would not apply by Stam Aben Eved. Now, what does this mean? That you would not be permitted to go ahead and circumcise a regular Gentile against his will. Now, that's kind of obvious. We're going to have to see exactly what that's referring to. The love eved bal karcho. I mean, the kasev rachmana ish kray yisrael lemiute ben ish shmamina umalto also bal karcho mashma. So I will say again, what the Gemara discusses, what the Gemara is understanding over here is the following: that when the pasuk says kol eved ish miknas kesef umalto ba umalto also, the Torah is teaching me that I have the ability to do something with the eved that I don't have the ability to do with someone else. And what is that? circumcise him against his will. That when I purchase an Eved, I'll say, remember, from a halachic perspective, an Eved Kenani is property. And therefore, Lemaisa, again, should the master decide to circumcise him, and we'll discuss if that has to be done or not, then Lemaisa, the master has that right. That right does not exist, obviously, by other people. You can't forcibly circumcise other people. Via tamal ish bal karcho, for Rabbanan say, Rabbanan amar ula, kishem shia tamal ben ish bal karcho, kach I atamal evet ish bal karcho. The Rabbanan disagree, excuse me, Ula disagrees, and I'm sorry, the Rabbanan in the name of Ula disagree, that what? That Lemais again, no, you can't circumcise an evet bal karcho either. So what's the fundamental machlokes is here in Bishimin Alazar and the Rabbanan slash Ula. Reb Shimon Alazar says that you could go ahead and you can circumcise an Eved Bal Karcho. The Rabbanan say you may not. Ve'ela ha'ksiv kol Eved Ish. Aye, but what do you do with the phrase that says kol Eved Ish? Ha'humi b'ayli l'chidishmon. The Rabbanan say, understand, that notion of whether or not you can circumcise an Eved Bal Karcho really fits directly into the previous machlokis of whether or not you could convert the Eved without Kabbalas HaMitzvos. If you hold that you could convert the Eved without Kabbalas HaMitzvos, essentially then it's pretty much a forced conversion. If it's a forced conversion, then what? Then what? Then you could circumcise in Bal Karcho as well. However, if you hold that even an Eved, like a Ger, requires Kabbalas HaMitzvos, the meaning which then means that the Eved only becomes Jewish if he chooses to become Jewish, then the same way that he has a choice in the whole conversion process, of course he has a choice in circumcision as well. So this is the fundamental dispute between Reb Shimon and Elazar on one side, and the Rabbanan and Ula on the other side. So Ula says, what do you do with the phrase of Eved Ish? You require it because of Shmuel. Damer Shmuel, Hamafkir Avdo Yotze Lecheiros Vein Tzorach Get Shichrur. It will say, if somebody makes his Eved Hefker, somebody makes his Eved ownerless, the Eved immediately goes free, and he does not require a document of emancipation. So we'll say, we'll see, actually, we'll talk about this extensively in Gittin, that when you go ahead and you emancipate a non-Jewish servant, you have to give him a document of emancipation, what we call a get shichur. However, if you make your Eved Hefker, then you do not have to give him that document of emancipation. Shana Amar, where do we learn this from? Kol Eved Ish Miknas Kesef. We learn it out from the phrase of any slave, any servant of man who is acquired by money. Eved Ish, velo Eved Isha. Is it coming to teach us the servant of a man, not the servant of a woman? Of course not, because again, the same halacha was applied to a servant owned by a woman. Elo Eved Sheish lo Rishos l'Rabo Alav, Karoi Eved, v'she'ein l'Rabo, v'she'ein Rishos l'Rabo Alav, ein Karoi Eved. Rather, what do we say? Rather, what we say is that Lamaisa, any Eved whose master has control over him, that's called an Eved. But any Eved whose master does not have control over him, i.e., he makes him Hefker, or e.g., he makes him Hefker, then what? Then that's not called an Eved. Maskif la Rapapa. So Rapapa raised the kasha. Emer de Shamus Lub Rabbanon, be a fast toar. So we'll say, remember, when do we say that the Rabbanon hold that you need Kabbalas HaMitzvos, right? That you need Kabbalas HaMitzvos. Maybe that's only by a fast toar, right? By the war bride. Why? Delo shaycha b'mitzvos. Because they both say, she is not shaykh in mitzvos at all. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Se emer de kashamas rabbanan de pligad rabbi shimon delo havia takanto b'yifastor delo shaycha b'mitzvos. So what does this mean? The yifastor is a Gentile woman who essentially was grabbed in the middle of war, right, and is taken as a war bride. She has absolutely no connection to Judaism. So in a case like that, the rabbanan will say, come on, she can't become Jewish unless she chooses to become Jewish. There has to be a kabbalah, because again, this is not something that she even has like a pinky toe in. However, aval eved the shaykh mitzvos. But people say, here's the difference. What, an eved is already in the parsha of Judaism. How is an eved already in the parsha of Judaism? Because as soon as you become a non-Jewish servant, what happens here, Rabbosai? You go to the mikvah and you're immersed for the sake of avdos. What happens? You're immersed for the sake of avdos. You're already obligated in certain mitzvos. So all this time that the eved was operating as an eved, he was already required. He was already required to go ahead and keep certain mitzvos. So perhaps in that case, when he then does the second immersion for emancipation and full conversion, maybe even the Rabbanan would agree that what? That you don't need Kabbalas HaMitzvos. Why don't you need Kabbalas HaMitzvos? Why not? Because he's kind of in it already. So I say again, what the Gemara is suggesting is maybe it's only in the case of Yifas Toar, where there you need a Kabbalah Mitzvah, because there she has no Chilik in Judaism. So she has to even Kabbalah something. But in the case of the Eved, maybe even the Rabbanon would agree with Shimon Elazar that she don't need Kabbalah Mitzvah. She's already in the parasha. So the Aval Eved, the Shimon Mitzvah, Hachanami, the Afidur Rabbanon Modu, that she wouldn't need Kabbalah Mitzvah. The Sanya, because we learned, Echad Ger, the Echad Lokech, Eved Mina Obeko Chavim, Sarich Lekabel. Because yet we learned that a ger, or one who purchases a slave from a Gentile, requires Kabbalah Samitzvos. Interesting enough, so what can we infer from that? Ha lokech mi Yisrael, ein tzarech lekabel. But I will say, interesting enough, the inference from that is what? If I were to purchase, the only time I have to have the servant go and do Kabbalah Samitzvos is when? When I purchase it from the Gentile. But the inference from that is where I had to purchase him from another Jew, so the servant would not require Kabbalah Samitzvos. So why not? Money, whose opinions that reflect? Rabbi Shimon Elazar, if it's Rabbi Shimon Elazar, that can't be. Well, Rabbi Shimon Elazar holds that an Eved never requires Kabbalah Samitzos, that you could just literally convert the Eved against his will. Elalav Rabbanon. Rather, it must be the opinion of the Rabbanon. Ushma mina, I learn that from here. Delokeach mina ovid kochavim tzarech lekabel. Avalokeach mi Yisrael in tzarech lekabel. We learned something very interesting. That when does the Eved require a Kabbalah Samitzvos? That's only if you purchased him from a non-Jew. Because in that point in time, when you purchase him from a non-Jew, he has no shaychus in mitzvos, no shaychus, no connection to Judaism. Therefore, there must be some level of Kabbalah Samitzvos. However, again, Lemaisa, if you purchase him from another Jew, then what's the status of the Eved? The Eved is already involved in Judaism, then he would not require a Kabbalah Samitzvos. Very interesting. Ve'elakashia, but yet, what do we do with the fact that the Braisa says, Echad ger ve'echad eved meshuchrer. So we'll say, yet the Braisa said that when you emancipate the servant, you still have to go out and do Kabbalah Samitzvos. So again, the Braisa seems to explicitly say that who cares where you bought him from, who you got him from. At the end of the day, if you're going to go out and emancipate him, that's what? That you have to go ahead and do Kabbalah Samitzvos. Kitanya hahila in tevila. Oh, no. That's not talking about Kabbalah Samitzvos. It's actually talking about immersion in the mikvah. Look at Rashi. The in tevila tanya. Shishneim shavim betevila. Shetzvichim litbol kishibon leklal Yisrael gomer. Aval le'inyan kabbalah lo hushvu de'eved ein tzarech lekabel b'shas tevila shichur. Supposed to which the Gemara answers, no, when the Braisa compared an eved to a ger, it was comparing the eved to the ger in what sense? For immersion purposes, that most of them, both of them must go to the mikvah. But for Kabbalah Samitzvos purposes, they are not on the same page. The ger requires Kabbalah Samitzvos, but the eved does not. Tan Rabbanan. So we learned in Abraisa. Tan Rabbanan. V'gilcha es rosha. So I'll say now, once we brought up Yifas Toar, the war bride, so the Gemara goes back and discusses it a little bit. So the Torah says, the Gilcha Es Rosha, she will go out and shave her head. The Asisa Es Siparna. And we'll say, the Asisa Es Siparna literally means what? How would you literally translate it? She will do her nails, make her nails. Now, obviously, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't mean that she's getting a manicure, because obviously, the whole point over here is to make her look less attractive in the eyes of her captor. So she shaves her head. The Asisa Es Siparna. Now, what does it mean? Rabbi Eliezer Omer Tokots. Rabbi Eliezer says she cuts her nails, meaning as opposed to having longer nails, which may be more attractive, she cuts her nails down to make her look less attractive. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Kia says, Tagdil, no, she lets her nails grow excessively long, too long. Omer Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Ne'emar Asiya Berosh Ne'emar Asiya B'Tziparnayim. Well, it says that she will, it says the verb of Asiya by her hair, and the verb of asiya by her nails. Malahalon ha'avar, just by her hair, it means to remove. Afkan, so too by her nails, ha'avara, it means to remove. Rabbi Kiva says, Ne'emar asiya b'rosh, ne'emar asiya b'tzimra. Rabbi Kiva agrees, yes, it says to do by the hair and to do by the nails. Malahalon nivol, just like by the hair, allow cutting her hair off, right, shaving her head, goes ahead and makes her look disgusting. Afkan nivol, so too over here, again, with the nails, allowing them to grow. ultimately makes them look disgusting as well. And we have a proof to the phrase of Rabbi Eliezer. Remember, Rabbi Eliezer is the one who says that lamaisa, it means to remove the nails. So he says, "Umipi boshes ben shol yoron the kras hamelech lo asa raglav v'lo asa sfamo." So what's interesting? So the Torah says over, the Navi says over here that Mipi boshes was the last remaining son of Shaul. So remember again, he comes before David HaMelech to essentially beg for his life. So the Navi says that he descended to greet the king. Lo asa raglav. Literally, he did not do his toenails. V'lo asa sfamo. He did not trim his mustache. Mayasiya. What does it mean he didn't do? Havara. He didn't cut his toenails. His toenails were long. In other words, we both say that again, he was showing this as a way of showing the king that he was so distressed over his predicament that he did not even take care of his personal grooming needs. That seems to be a proof over here to the idea of Rabbi Eliezer. That lemaisa, that it means ultimately removal of the nails. Okay. So remember again, still by the Ifas Torah. So the Torah says she shall cry for her mother and her father and her mother. Yerech Yamim. Yerech Yamim. So the Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Aviha Mamish. Ima Mamish. Rabbi Eliezer says, what does it mean that she cries for her mother and father? No, it means literally that she cries for her mother and father. I mean, I'll say there is this whole dynamic of Yifas Torah, again, is another one of these very strange dynamics that the Torah encourages us, Torah discourages us from doing, but yet makes a dispensation for. But it's amazing because, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer still highlights the dynamic of human suffering of this woman, that here she's been snatched from her family, she's been snatched from her country, quite possibly, so she's permitted to go in and mourn for her mother and her father. And mother and father literally means mother and father. So the Gemara says, Avia, Avia, Mamish, Ima, Mamish, Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says, no, Avia, Viima, Zu, Ovodos, Kochavim. Her father and mother doesn't mean her father and mother, it means her idolatry, that she mourns, she cries, ultimately again, for the theological way of life, that she was taken from, V'chinu Omer, similarly the Pasuk says, Omrim la'itz avi'ata. So, because remember again, it quotes over here the Pasuk from Yirmiyahu, that they say to the tree, you are my father. Talking about the idolaters, that the idolaters look at their, worship their deities as a father and a mother. So she mourns, ultimately, again, for the lifestyle she has lost. Yerech Yamim, it says that she mourns. She does this for 30 days. Excuse me. Yerech Yamim. How long is Yerech? Yerech Shloshim Yom. The Rebbe says Yerech could also mean just a month. A month. So that's why. So 30 days. She's permitted to mourn for 30 days. Rebbe Shimon Allah says Tishim Yom. No, it's actually 90 days. Why? Because Yom, Tishim Yom. Yerech Shloshim. Yerech means 30 days. Yomim Shloshim. Yomim means another 30 days. The Acher Kein Shloshim, and then Acher Kein afterwards is another 30 days. So we'll say now what he's picking up over here on is the following: that the pasuk says, Ubachsa Esavia Vesima Yerech Yomim the Acher Kein. So the Gemara is dashing over here that Yerech is 30, Yomim is 30, and afterwards Acher Kein is another 30. Meaning that for 90 days she sits in his house with shaved head, right, long nails or very, very short nails, crying over either her biological father and mother or over the idolatry, the theology, the way of life that she no longer has. This is not a pashut undertaking, right? Not a pashut undertaking. So that's the point. It's not supposed to be a pashut undertaking. Maskifla Ravina. Ravina says, well, why don't you say the following? Ema Yerech Shloshim Yamin. Why don't you say Yerech is 30 days? And then, Yerech Shloshim Yomim is another 30. Yomim Shloshim. The Acher Kein, it also maybe the phrase Acher Kein means what? Kihani. Like Acher Kein actually means like those two previous periods of time. In other words, that Yerech is 30, Yomim is 30, and Acher Kein is what? Acher Kein is 60. Acher Kein is equal to the two units that came before it, which would give you, again, a total of 120 days in which he's going ahead and mourning in his house, to which the Gemara says, you know what, it's a good point. Kasha. I'm not sure how to answer that one. Tan Rabbanan, Mekaimim Avadim, so now back to Avadim. Mekaimim Avadim She'inam Malin. We are permitted to go ahead and keep servants who do not go ahead and do Mila. Now, remember, so let's say the servant says, listen, I'm not doing a bris Mila. I'm happy to work for you, right? Happy to work for you. I appreciate the benefits package, right? I am not doing bris mila. So what do you do? What do you do with such an eved? I will say, interestingly enough, this Gemara is clearly reflecting the idea that we do not circumcise the eved against his will, in accordance with the opinion of the Rabbanon slash Ula. So going with that opinion, what do you do with an eved who refuses to be circumcised? So the Gemara says, okay, he's uncircumcised. He's uncircumcised, but you're permitted to go ahead and mekayim him. Mekayim means you're permitted to go ahead and keep him. So on the other hand, divrei Rabbi Shmuel, these words Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva Omer ain mekayim him. Rabbi Kiva says, absolutely not. You cannot go ahead and hold on to him. Now, I will say, we're going to see that there are major reasons not to hold on to an Eved who is not circumcised. We'll get to it. Omer Bishmol, Harehu Omer, Vainafash Ben Amasecha. So the Pasuk says over here by Shabbos that what? Vainafish Ben Amasecha, Ben Amascha, excuse me, Vager. That literally, it will say it's not just you who has to rest on Shabbos, your animals have to rest on Shabbos, and the son of your maidservant. The son of your maidservant. So the Gemara says, Omerle. So Bishmol says, it says, V'enafesh ben amasecha. I will say now, what's interesting over here is the following. Look at Rashi. V'hari hu omer v'enafesh ben amasecha, v'hai be'eved aril ksiv. Then I will say, Rabbi Yishmael says, the Pasuk says, that even your uncircumcised Eved has to go ahead and rest on Shabbos. Then I will say, now Rabbi Yishmael says that that phrase, Ben Amasacha, means an uncircumcised Eved. Now we're going to ask how Rabbi Yishmael knows that that's referring to an uncircumcised Eved. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But for now, let's assume Rabbi Yishmael is correct. So what is the Torah telling you? That even your uncircumcised Eved has to rest on Shabbos, which tells you what? Which tells you what? That Lamaisa, you're still permitted to go ahead and maintain an uncircumcised Eved. So the Gemara says the fine. Amarle, what's the case over here? Amarle, Belokeach, makes it more dramatic. Sorry. No, it makes it more dramatic. It's like a little bit, we have to time that better though. So the Gemara says, Amarle, Belokeach, so now remember, Rabbi Shmuel just seemed to bring a proof to his position, right? So Rabbi Shmuel says, you see from here that you are permitted to go ahead and maintain an uncircumcised servant, because the Torah says that even the uncircumcised servant has to observe the Shabbos. Rabbi Kiva says, no. You know what that case is? Amrlei belo keach eved bein hashmashos velo hispik lamolo akasul medaber. But say, listen to this, Rabbi Kiva. You know what that case is talking about? That's talking about a situation where I purchased the eved right before Shabbos. Right before Shabbos, and what? I didn't have an opportunity to circumcise him before Shabbos. So in such a case, and obviously I can't circumcise him on Shabbos, so in that case, again, he is my servant. Circumstances precluded the circumcision from occurring, and therefore the Torah is telling us that even though he is uncircumcised now, he still has to observe the Shabbos. So the Gemara says, mihas ve'nafesh ben amasecha be'evet aroksim. Now here's what's interesting. What comes out over here is that it would appear that everybody agrees that what? That ve'nafesh ben amasecha is referring to an uncircumcised Eved. My mashma, how do you know that? Meaning, even Rabbi Akiva is not disagreeing with Rabbi Shmuel in terms of the interpretation that Ben Amasecha refers to an uncircumcised Eved. Where do you get that from? So the Gemara says, "Ditana, because we learned, Vayinafish Ben Amasecha." The pasuk says that the son of your maidservant also has to rest on Shabbos. Be'eved Arul Akasav Medaber. Torah is talking about an uncircumcised slave. How do we know that? So the Gemara says, "Ata Omer Be'eved Arul Eno Elo Be'eved Mahul." How do you know that it's talking about an uncircumcised servant? Maybe we're talking about one who is circumcised. Kishu Omer Leman Yanuach Avdicha V'Amascha Kamocha. When the pasuk says that your servant and your maidservant shall rest like you, Hare Eved Mahul Omer. There the Torah is referring to a circumcised Eved. Ha Ma'ani Mekayim V'Inafesh Ben Amascha. So also what the Gemara is picking up on is the following. The Torah already told us that the servant, that the Eved Kamocha, the servant like you, or the servant has to rest like you. We already said that. Why do you have to mention this Ben Amascha again? Rather, it must be what? It must be referring to two different types of Avadim. Avducha Kamocha is talking about, again, a circumcised slave. And Ben Amascha is talking about an uncircumcised slave. Ha ma'ani mekayim v'ainafish Ben Amascha be'evet arel. It's talking about an uncircumcised David. V'hager. And who is the ger when it says that the ger has to go ahead and observe the Shabbos along with you? Ze ger toshav. These are supposed to a ger toshav. Now, what's a ger toshav? If you look at Rashi, Rashi is ger toshav. Shekibel alav sholav or avodot kochavim. So ger toshav also is a Gentile, a non-Jew, who has accepted upon himself not to worship idolatry. However, va'ochel mevelos, he still eats good food, right? He still eats. Yeah, we have a real shortage of food in the Jewish people. Right? He still goes ahead and he eats whatever he wants. He eats nevelos. He doesn't have to keep kosher. V'hashiru akosav al hashabbos t'mechalas hashabbos kobi avados kamaros. And it's very interesting that apparently, again, so a ger toshav essentially is a gentile, a Noahide individual. The interesting of apparently it appears that in biblical Israel, even Noahides kept Israel, kept Shabbos. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because since the violation of Shabbos, since Shabbos ultimately is the validation of the Creator and His creative prowess, so violation of Shabbos ultimately is tantamount to idol worship. Therefore, the Gemara is suggesting over here that even the Ger Toshav would keep Shabbos, which is really something so interesting. So the Ger, how is the Ger Toshav? How do you know it's talking about a ger toshav? Maybe it's about a ger tzedek. We'll say ger tzedek is what we call a ger, a convert. Maybe it's about a regular convert. Kishu omer, when the pasuk says, v'gerecha asher b'sharecha, when the pasuk elsewhere says, even the convert within your gates shall keep the Shabbos. Hare ger tzedek amor. That's referring to the ger tzedek. So who is the pasuk talking about over here when it says Ager? Ze Ger Toshav. This is talking about, again, the Ger Toshav, that he has to keep Shabbos as well. Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Halokeach Eved Mina Obed Kochavim, Velo Ratza Lamolo. So we'll say, again, similarly continuing on the same theme as before, that if somebody purchases an Eved from a non-Jew, and ultimately, again, Velo Ratza Lamol, the Eved does not want to be circumcised. So what do? Megalgal imo al yud beis chodesh. You try to convince him for up to a year. You spend a year trying to convince him. Lo mal, if he still won't circumcise, chozer umochro lo ovei kochavim. You sell him back. Now, it doesn't mean you have to sell him back to the Gentile master, but the idea is sell him back to some other Gentile individual. Amru rabbana kamid rapapa. So the rabbi said, parapapa, and he said, kiman, whose opinion does this reflect? The look Rabbi Akiva, so not Rabbi Akiva, the Rabbi Akiva Amar Ein Mekaimin. Remember, Rabbi Akiva says you do not maintain an uncircumcised Eved. And according to Rabbi Akiva, that would sound like what? Even for a day. You don't wait 12 months. If you see that the Eved is simply not going to go ahead and do a bris milah, you have to sell him. Amura Papa Afilutim Rabbi Akiva. No, it's not true. This could even be Rabbi Akiva. Why? Hani mili hecha de la paskala milse. When does Rabbi Akiva say that if you have an Eved that's not circumcised, you have to sell him immediately? That's when the Eved has drawn in his line in the sand and he's, listen, master, I'll do anything for you, right? But not that, right? So if the Eved is not even open to it, then there's no point in maintaining this relationship. We go ahead and we sell off the Eved. However, aval hecha de paskala milse, but when lemaise, again, the Eved is receptive, somewhat receptive, meaning Rashi says over here, hecha de paskala milse, b'shas l'kichoso, v'nispais l'iskai, v'acha kach chozerbo, megalgalin shem yachzor v'yisratza. So again, however, lemaise, if the Eved was receptive to it, then he changed his mind, then he's not sure, should I do it, should I not do it? So then again, if you see that he's receptive to it a little bit, so then, let me think about it, so then you could allow up to 12 months to be able to go in and see if he'll do it. And after 12 months, if he doesn't do it, then you sell him to a Gentile master. So the Gemara says the following. So Rav Kahana said, I said over this ruling in front of Rav Zvid in the Harda, Amarli, Ihachi, ki Amarli Rabbi Akiva, Belokeach Eved Ben Ashmashos, Lishni La Ha. So we'll say, remember we said before that everyone agrees that Ben Amascha refers to an uncircumcised Eved. Ben Amascha is uncircumcised Eved. So he said, I, Rabbi Akiva, you see from here, Mefurish Rayi, that what? That you're permitted to maintain an uncircumcised Eved. Remember, how did Rabbi Akiva answer that question? Rabbi Akiva says, no. What's the case of the uncircumcised Eved who's obligated to keep Shabbos? Meaning, what's the case of uncircumcised Eved that you have in your possession? You purchased him right before Shabbos. There was no chance for Mila, and so you observe Shabbos. The Gemara says, why did Rabbi Akiva give that answer? Why does Rabbi Akiva give this answer? We have a new answer. What's the new answer? No, I bought him, and we're in negotiations, right? We're in circumcisional negotiations, right? We are waiting to see. We're waiting to hear. He's open to it. He wants to think about it, right? But again, we're talking about this. Why does Rabbi Akiva just give that as the case of the uncircumcised servant whom you own and who is keeping Shabbos? To which the Gemara says, you're right. There are two ways that Rabbi Akiva could have answered that question. Remember, Rabbi say, Rabbi Akiva's shita is that you are not permitted to maintain an uncircumcised Eved. But yet, the Torah Torah speaks about a case where you are in possession of an uncircumcised Eved, to which the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva has two ways of explaining that case. Either you bought him right before Shabbos, there was no time for circumcision, or you're in negotiations. He's open to it, he's receptive to it, but he keeps on going back and forth. You're permitted to give him up to a year to decide what he wants to do. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva was just giving one of two possible answers. So the Gemara says, Shalach Rabin Mishmid Rabbi Eloi. Rabin sent the name of Rabbi Eloi. V'cho Rabosai Amruli Mishmo. And all of my Rebbeim told me in his name. Ezehu Eved Arel Shemut Lekaimo. What type of Eved? What is the type of uncircumcised Eved that you're permitted to go ahead and maintain? Zesh Shalachcho Rabba Amanash Lolomolo. This is a case of where the master bought him on the condition that he not be circumcised. On the condition that he not be circumcised. So we'll say, so again, what this sounds like is that the Eved already made the condition from the beginning that, again, I'm happy to do whatever you want, but I'm just telling you right now, I'm not buying into Bris Mila. So the rabbi says, and they said, Kiman, who's opinion does this reflect? The look Rabbi Akiva, certainly not Rabbi Akiva, why not Rabbi Osai? The Rabbi Akiva, ha Amra in Mekayim. Remember, Rabbi Akiva said that what? You may not maintain an uncircumcised servant. Amru Rapapa, Afilu Tim Rabbi Akiva. No, it can even be Rabbi Akiva. How so? Hani Mili Hecha Delo Asni Behedja. So what does Rabbi Akiva say that you may not maintain an uncircumcised Eved? That's when it wasn't explicitly worked out from the beginning. But Aval Hecha Da Asni Asni. But if they made an explicit condition that these were the terms of engagement, so to speak, these were the terms of employment, then Einachinami, Rabbi Akiva would agree that if this is what the servitude was predicated on, then Einachinami, it would be okay. I said this over in front of Rav Zvid and Narda. And he said to me, So the Gemara says, therefore again, we asked the question of Rabbi Akiva. So before in Rabbi Akiva, when the Gemara asked in Rabbi Akiva, you said that you can't maintain an Eved that is uncircumcised, but yet what did the Torah say? That even the uncircumcised Eved has to keep Shabbos, which shows you what? That the Torah does make an allowance for ownership over an uncircumcised Eved. And how did Rabbi Akiva answer up that case? How could that case exist when you bought the Eved right before Shabbos, Ben HaShemashos? Why doesn't Rabbi Akiva say like this? That's what? What's the case of an uncircumcised Eved who you're permitted to own, where you stipulated from the beginning that he's not going to be circumcised? But the truth is, again, he could have also given the other answer. We'll say, what was the other answer? The other answer was, where you're still in negotiations, it's still within the year. To which the Gemara says, Ella chad mitzrei utlas tami kamra. Rather, I will say, there are essentially three different ways in which Rabbi Akiva could answer up the case of the uncircumcised Eved who has to keep Shabbos. Either A, you purchased him right before Shabbos. B, you're in negotiations and you're permitted up to 1 year to negotiate with the Eved to get the Bris Milah. Or C, he stipulated from the beginning, from the time that you bought him, that he was not going to be circumcised, in which case even Rabbi Akiva would agree that Lamaisi are permitted to maintain him. So the Gemara said the following. Yosef Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi, Rav Ami, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, Akil Od Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. So I'll say all of these rabbis were sitting on the porch of Rabbi Yitzchak the blacksmith, the Yosef Vikamri, and they were sitting and saying the following. So we'll see what happened. There was a particular city in Eretz Yisrael, and I guess it sounds like maybe the Avodim, you know, the servants unionized, and they decided that we are not doing Mila. So the Gemara says, the owners union went ahead and negotiated with them for 12 months. And there again, they made no headway. And then they sold off these avadim to Gentiles, to non-Jews. If you're not going to circumcise you, then we have to sell you. So the Gemara says, come on. Whose opinion does this reflect? Which the Gemara answers, Ki haitana, like this time, the sanyo, halokeach evim in a oved kochavim, if one purchases an eved from oved kochavim, velo ratza lamu, and he did not want to circumcise, megalgalim imo achnim asar chodesh, we try to convince him for up to 12 months, loma, if it still doesn't work, chozer umocho lo oved kochavim, we go ahead and we sell him off to a Gentile master. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Ein Mashin Oso Beretz Yisrael. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says no. So we'll say, so therefore it reflects this opinion. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar argues and he says no. Ein Mashin Oso Beretz Yisrael. We do not go ahead and maintain uncircumcised servants in Eretz Yisrael. Now remember, one thing the Gemara had never discussed is what is the big deal? Really, what is the big deal? Let's say the Eved doesn't want to circumcise. So, okay, and they say perhaps it's not in conformance with the normal with the normal technical details of servitude, but what is the big deal? So, Shmuel, I'll tell you what the big deal is. Emashin also Eretz Yisrael mipnei hefsid taros, because Rabbi say in Eretz Yisrael it creates a problem of hefsid taros. What does that mean? Rashi says hefsid taros shemetame esat shrumos. Because he could go ahead and make tame any truma. Again, the halacha is that the rabbis imposed a certain level of impurity upon non-Jews. That a non-Jew basically has the status of a zav. If a zav goes ahead and touches truma, what does it do? What does it do? It makes a truma tame. So also, here's the problem. If the eved circumcises, then lemaisa he pretty much has the status in certain like gabe tumantara, like a Jew, which means as long as he's tar, he can operate in the household freely. However, again, if he does not circumcise, then he is a bona fide Gentile. If he's a bona fide Gentile, then he already has rabbinic tuma. If he has rabbinic tuma, it could be disastrous in terms of what he could do for truma. That's the issue with maintaining an uncircumcised servant. Therefore, Shimon Allah says the truth is in chutz la'aretz, we're not as worried about it, but in Eretz Yisrael it poses a major, major issue. Therefore, again, we won't even wait the 12 months. If we see he's not going to circumcise, we sell him off to a Gentile master. Furthermore, I will say it's actually very interesting. And furthermore, ubi'iras mucha l'safar, if you live in a border city, we also, in mashin also kol ikar, we also don't go ahead and maintain avadim at all. You know why? Shema yishma davar v'yelech v'yomar l'chaveira ovid kochavim. We'll say, you know why else? Because if you live in a border city, border cities are strategic strongholds. If someone is not doing the mila, then the truth is, again, I see Rabbi say, once an Eved does a mila, in many respects, in certain respects, he's Jewish. He's Jewish. He's part of the Jewish people in certain respects. If he's not circumcised, then Lemaisa, again, he is full Gentile. If he's living by a border city, there's a security concern. The security concern is that he may hear things about the securities of the border city and may go ahead and share that with some other Gentiles that he knows. All right, we'll have to stop over here, pick up over here tomorrow. Mir Tzah Hashem. Shikoyach. Pretty good.